Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman, and I'm thrilled that you are part of this program. To mark the completion of Sifrei Nevi'im, we are creating a Siyum scroll, an online place to recognize your accomplishment, as well as hosting several live events. Please check out the details at ou.org/women/Siyum. Again, ou.org/women/Siyum. Mazel tov on this meaningful accomplishment and much continued hatzlacha on your future learning. Please consider donating to support this valuable programming at ou.org/women/donate. And now to today's perek.
Hello, my name is Marcy Stern. Today we will be studying Sefer Zecharia, Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11. In the last class, when we studied Perek Yud, Chapter 10, the Jewish people are described as they emerge victorious over their enemies. As the Navi says in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, V'gibarti et Beit Yehuda v'et Beit Yosef Oshia, v'hoshavtim ki richamtim. And I will give power to the house of Yehuda, and I will save the house of Joseph. I will settle them, for I have mercy upon them. According to Rashi, the Marikra, and the Barbanel, the first three psukim of Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11, are a continuation of that theme that eventually destruction of our enemies will come. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. P'tach levanon delatecha, open your doors, Lebanon. V'tochal eish ba'arazecha. Let fire consume your cedars. Hilil brosh kinafal erez. Wail, O Cyprus, for the cedars have fallen. Asher adirim shudadu, for the mighty ones have been vanquished. Hililu alane vashan. Wail, O oaks of the Bashan. Ki yarad ya'ar habatsir, because the impregnable forest has come down. Open your doors, nations, to the destruction that is impending. You, who are numerous as the trees of the mighty Lebanon, all your mighty kings and officers who are compared to the strong cedar trees, oaks, and cypresses will fall. The Barbanel adds that here the Navi could be calling out to Eretz Yisrael, that is also called the Levanon, to open its doors so that the enemies of Yishmael and Edom, Rome, who have downtrodden the land for so long, can be destroyed as fires will obliterate the trees. Chazal seem to interpret these opening psukim not as a description of the fall of our enemies and a continuation of the previous perek, but rather as the opening of a different topic that is the dominant theme of Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11. After hearing in the previous parak of salvation and the fall of our enemy, the prophet wants once again to warn the nation that the nechama can happen only if they are deserving of it. The potential of Bayit Sheni, the second temple, being the final temple, is not assured. The Navi says, Tach levanon delatecha, open levanon your trees, is informing the Beit HaMikdash, which is in the Levanon, to open its doors to its impending destruction. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Tet, states that 40 years before the destruction of the Second Temple, the doors of the Heichal, the sanctuary, would open on their own. Ad Shega'ar Bahen Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, until Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would be angry with them, va'amar lo, and said, Heichal, heichal, sanctuary, O sanctuary, mipnei ma atam mevateinu, why are you kicking at us? Yodea ani shesofech lecharev, I already know that your end is that you will be destroyed. Kvar hitnabe alav Zecharia, just as Zecharia has prophesied in our chapter, P'tach levanon delatecha, open up your doors, levanon, v'tochal eish ba'arazecha, and the fire will eat at your cedar trees. Chazal add, in Avos to Rebbe Nassan, that the various Midas trees described in these psukim that will wail are none other than Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and the 12 tribes, as well as Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, David, and Shlomo, Eliyahu, and Elisha, who will all cry and wail over the destruction of the second temple. The rest of the parak, from Psukim Dalid through Yud Zion, verses 4 through 17, focus on the future destruction that will befall the sitting Jewish nation as Hashem distances himself from them as they no longer merit his protection. The parak outlines the process in Jewish history with different references to various time periods. There is never mention of a specific name, event, or people. What part of history is being referenced? The Mefarshim are all over the map. Some, like the Targum Yonatan and Rashi, describe the spiritual and eventual political fall during the First Temple. Even Ezra, the Malban, Barbanel referred to events during the Second Beit HaMikdash, in particular, the period of the Hashmonaim and after. Yosef even Kaspi even sees in these words a reference to the period of Bar Kokhba, after the fall of the Second Temple. Even if one historical era is pinpointed by a group of commentators, the actual events being alluded to in each pasuk can be very different according to each of these commentaries. The details brought in the parak are tremendously hard to understand. The Abarbanel, in his comment on Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, says something extraordinary, albeit familiar. Et chata'ai ani maskir, the Barbanel begins. I have to admit my own sins. Shelo nistatmu ta'anotai, my explanations were never blocked. Velo katsar da'ati, and my ideas never fell short. Beshum nevu'ah mi nevu'ot asher pirashti b'kitvei ha'kodesh, in all the other prophecies that I try to explain in all the holy books. Kamosha lo matzati yadai bepeirush haparsha hazot. The way I can't seem to be able to explain this particular perek. Shedvareha amukima od, because their words are very deep, mi bleak pitaron, without a solution that I can come up with. Sounds so much like Rashi we learned in Zecharia on the very first parak and the very first verse. Nevuat Zecharia stu mahi ma'od. The prophecies of Zecharia are very complex. And so we will try to get a general picture of the parak and its goal and leave the details to others. The parak centers around a ro'eh, a shepherd, and a flock of sheep destined for death. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Ko amar Hashem Elokai, so says Hashem, Re'ei etzon haharega, tend the flock that is meant to be slain. Verse 5, Pasuk He, Asher konehen yahargun, their buyers will kill them, velo yeshamu, and are not guilty. Umochrehem yomar Baruch Hashem, and those who sell, say them say, thank God, now I am rich. V'ro'ehem lo yachmol aleihem, and whose shepherds do not pity them. These are sheep not fit for breeding, and so are sold to be killed and used for their meat, an obvious allusion to the Jews in the hands of their cruel dictators. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Hashem says, Ki lo echmol od al yoshvei ha'aretz ne'um Hashem. Hashem explains the mashal, the parable. Hashem will no longer have mercy on the flock and will allow them to turn one against each other and eventually allow the kings of their enemies to be victorious over them, as seen, the Metzudat David explains, at the end of the Second Temple. The Navi tells us then in verse 7, Pasuk Zion, Ve'er'eh et tzon ha'ariga, I tended the flock meant to be slain. Ve'ekach li shnei maklot, and I took two staffs. La'achad karati Noam, to one I called Noam. That comes from the word ne'imut, pleasantness. Ula'achad karati chovlim, and the other staff I called from the word of destroyers. The Meforshim explanations as to who these two staffs represent are extraordinarily varied. Rashi says it's talking about the kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes, and the kingdom of Yehuda. The Abarbanel says it's talking about the first Chashmonaim, the three sons of Matisyahu, Yehuda, Shimon, Yonatan, who were tzaddikim, and then the later Chashmonaim, who sinned. The Ben Ezra says it's talking about Zerubbabel and Nehemiah. Eventually, the Nevuah says, these maklot, these staffs, are broken by the shepherd in verses 10 and 14, Psukim Yud and Yud Dalet. At one point, the shepherd asks for payment for his work and receives 30 pieces of silver, all very confounding. Not very easy to understand what's going on. But one thing that is familiar to us is the idea that the Jewish people are compared to the flock of Hashem. Just as the shepherd is devoted to his sheep and lovingly leads them to still waters, as David says in Perek Chaf Gimel Tehillim, Al mei menuchot yenahaleim, so too is Hashem our loving shepherd. As David HaMelech says in that very same Perek, Hashem ro'i lo achzor, Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not want. In fact, the Jewish people have had many a leader whose profession it was to be a shepherd. Moshe was even chosen to be the one to take us out of Mitzrayim because of the loving way he ran after the thirsty sheep at the time Hashem appeared to him at the snare, the burning bush. In fact, just two prakim ago, in Zechariah Perek Tet, verse Tet Zion, that's chapter 9, verse 16, the Navi says, Vahoshiem Hashem Elokeim, Hashem will save them by Yom Hahu on this day, Kitzon Amo, he will save his nation like a shepherd saves his flock. In our last class, in chapter 10, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, the Navi uses the term shepherd again, but in a different way. Al haro'im chara api, on the shepherds who ruled my nation, like the Babylonians, etc., I am angry. Ki pakad Hashem et edro, because Hashem remembers his flock. The foreign leaders tried to superimpose their authority over Hashem's jurisdiction and dominion. As the only shepherd of the Jewish nation. And so they will ultimately fall. Here the true Ro'eh returns in Pasuk Yod Aleph and plays a major role in informing us that the sheep can indeed go to the slaughter, be Tzon Haharega. The destruction of Bayit Sheni of the Second Temple can come if they don't heed the directions of Hashem, the true shepherd. Who then is the Ro'eh being described in the Perek? To most of the Meforshim, it is clearly and obviously Hashem who is speaking and expressing his frustration with the Jewish people. Pasuk Tet says, Va'omar, and I said, Lo er'eh etchem, I will no longer shepherd you. Hameta tamut, let the dying die. The Abarbanel feels strongly, however, that there is a storyline going here that is an example of a ma'aseh b'poel b'hekitz, something that the prophet was told to do in action when he is awake, a deed that the Navi was told by Hashem to do in front of the people, not only a prophecy that was said to them. Such ma'asim should be familiar to you from the Ezor Pishtim, the linen belt of Yirmiyahu, or the Levana, the brick of Yecheskel, for instance. Eino domeh shmia l'ra'iya. Hearing is nothing as been compared to seeing. As we say, a picture is worth a thousand words. The Barba now says, V'hine lo ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahodia ze lanavi bebei ur. Hashem does not explain in the prophecy every detail to us. Aval tziva oto she'aseh ma'aseh b'poel uv'hekitz. He commands him to literally do something in action. She'yeh hoda'a v'siman, that so it would be a foreshadowing of telling them, a symbol. L'mashi yeh b'hanhagat Yisrael b'sman bayit sheni, of how the people should act and what can be in the second temple. V'hine hanavi hevin hakavana ha'elokit. And Zechariah the prophet did understand what Hashem was telling him. The details of the story remain cryptic. The who, the what, the whens of the story. But the overall message should be clear. All the good that was described in previous prakim will come true only if B'nai Yisrael improve their ways. If they don't, chas v'shalom, and are resistant to the words of the prophet, not only will these prophecies not materialize during the Second Temple period, but the ro'eh will not save the flock from the horrors. The shepherd will not save his flock from imminent danger. The second temple will fall, and another galus will occur. They will be destined to be tzon haharega. Thank you for learning together today. Le'iloi nishmas, Malka Esther, bat Tzvi Yosef.